Today we're going to be introducing the topic of Nikkur. Today we're the first of a few shiurim on that topic. And the Nikkur means is when we remove certain parts of the animal before we do melicha, certain parts that have to be taken out. The Yiddish word for Nikkur is trebering. that skill, the art of doing Nikkur, is something that can't be really taught through a book, through a video like I'm doing now, recordings. And the Rama, as the Rama says, the way that the Nikkur is done for these parts of Chalav, you need to watch someone who's doing it, who knows what he's doing. It's not going to, in the Rama speaking, in Shukhrah and the Rama, I'm not going to be able to describe this well enough to of exactly what has to be done. And we're not going to be any smarter than that. We will talk about different major topics or outline some of the issues that there are, that there is to talk about. but by no means are we trying to give over and try to teach someone to be a menacher based on these presentations. In preparing for this, aside from, of course, watching people be menacher in for real, three svarim are very useful. And they are, the first is called the Seder HaNikkur from Rav Aaron Teitelbaum, the Nirbat Rav, who's been the Rav Machshir for at Ali Pasa Simon Milmar for decades, and he and his father, he is very good at explaining the different parts of the four quarters and how they have to be nuker. He has pictures, and he shows in Poiskim and in contemporary Poiskim who he and his father interacted with, what has to be done and what doesn't have to be done, with a Maserah from generations going back. Another sefer is called Nikkur HaMavur from Baron Kashitsky. He's an expert menacher with decades of field experience, and his sefer is encyclopedic of all the copious notes that are in there, with lots of photos to try to explain the issues that there are. And thirdly is a sefer called Tumuni Cho, or the English version of that is called Chum Illuminated by Yaakov David Lach. He's a Talmud of Rodelsky, and his Sefer is unparalleled as a pictorial guide for the whole Masechta Chulin, with Chelev and Dam and things that we're going to talk about as a small part of it. As part of all, he has mixes really clear and detailed photos with veterinarian information and halachic details, all in very clear ways. So those three are going to be helpful in picking out some of the details that we're going to be speaking about. Right now, the Nikkur, trapering, is done for four reasons. There are four reasons why something would be cut out of the animal before we do melicha, before we eat it. And the first is because of chelev. There are certain fats that are not allowed to be eaten. Those are spoken about primarily in Samach Dalad in Shulchan Aruch. That's going to be the first group of topics we're going to speak about after today's introduction. The first group of things we're going to speak about are the isurim of chelev, some of deraisin, some of drabah. The next is the Yid HaNasha, the sciatic nerve. It's a nerve in the hind leg of the animal. It's for a behemoth or for a chaya. Midrabanu, we remove out some other nerves, the femoral and the sphenous nerves, and branches from all of these things. Those didn't report at the end of the Siman Samachay and Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to talk about that because, as we're going to see in a minute, in practice, it's not commonly, that whole part of the animal is not used American hashkafas, most hashkafas everywhere, any place in the world, so we're not going to be speaking about the Gid HaMashal. Okay, the third reason to be menaker is because of blood. Certain blood that will not come out through melicha, other forms of kashering needs to be cut out or drained out before the animal's kasher, and those are in Simon, from Samach Dal to Samach Ches. After we speak about a few times of chela, we're going to speak then about issues that have to do with dam as well. And the last reason why something would be removed is because of mishamiyus, something that's repulsive. There are certain things, glands and certain other things in the animal that are taken out because people who eat them would find them repulsive, and therefore they have to be taken out. I'm going to mention some of them later at the end of the day today. And they have to be taken out also. They're taken a lot after before melicha, but they're taken out. Okay, now, one thing that I've already mentioned, that we're going to spend some more time on, is Nikkur of Acharayim. And as the Rama says, Right? Just about all of the chelev and the gid hanoshet are in the back of the animal, the acharayim, the hind quarters of the animal. And because of that, and because so those things that are also, the things that are also mitraisa tend to be in the back of the animal. I should mention, we'll see here later that most of the dam issues that we have are only shadows of the rabbanans. By the point that we come to eating it, they tend to be less serious questions. So the chelev which starts with the raisa, the get enough which starts with the raisa, tend to be all basically in the back of the animal, and they're very difficult to take out, and therefore the Dr. Chuma brings that there were those who held the communities had admitted that they don't eat anything from the acharayim. They don't eat them. They avoid all the most serious and the most difficult questions that there are about the animal by not using hind quarters of the animal. So in practice nowadays in America and probably elsewhere as well, none of the mega hashkachas will be menaker or use any of the hind quarters. Some people think that they're doing that is a acceptance of this minig to not use hindquarters. They see that it's a minig. They see, well, so we're not doing it. That means we have that minig as well. And other people say it's not a minig, just a financial concern, which is labor is expensive. Meat, you know, after you do the nikur, you don't earn as much money from it. The meat is a little cut up. So it's a financial decision. It's not worth the effort to get that meat. The work that has to be done doesn't make it worthwhile. That the meat is that we just sell it off to people who don't keep kosher, and they don't see it as a minig at all. It's just a practical issue. So there's possible rise in Rav Chaim Reuser and Tshuva and Rav Moshe who say that it's not a minig. There's no such minig. It's just a practical thing. Whether you choose to, or you don't choose to do it, and that seems to support those who think that there's not a formal minig in America to not eat acharayim. And they say, so therefore, if you want to start eating acharayim, you could find someone who knows how to do it. There are communities still, Eretz Yisrael, who are still menachmer, they know how to do it. So if you go to one of those communities and learn from them how to do it, then go ahead, you can go ahead and do that. And other people say the opposite. They say, look at the Jews, you'll see how Chaim Reuser and Rav Moshe speak about the how desperate the people were to use the acharayim, and therefore they were being allowed them to use it. In the case of Chaim Reuser, it's 1938, and all kinds of laws about selling meat to non-Jews when the Yidden didn't want it to be able to sell to a guy, so not being able to use the back half of the animal meant basically they couldn't eat any meat because they would have nothing to do with half the animal. So makes you think that maybe there actually really is a meaning and they were just being make-o for these special people. Okay. In Jews and Huggers, he says that in South Africa, they specifically were makabel on themselves to have a minute to not use that. And Rudolfsky said that the OU follows the common practice in the United States, which is to not use the hindquarters. But he said that he added an extra twist to that, which was that he once asked Rabbi Yashin about whether that such a minute would apply to deer. And Rabbi Yashin said it does not. And the reason is because deer is a chaya, and if it's a chaya, that means there's no isurim of chelev for a deer, which means to say is the gid hanoshet is still usur, but the many other things that are on the back of the half of the animal that are the chelev are not a problem, and therefore even those who had a minute to not use the acharayim, the back half of the animal, would be allowed to do that for deer as long as they knew how to get out the gid hanoshet. And therefore they can, for deer, once the menaker, for the gid hanoshet, I believe Rodosky is one of them, set up the procedures for how to be menachah to get an usher, then they can use the acharayim of the deer as well. Okay, Reese tells us that Rav Schwartz himself said before that in fact it was a minig in America, it was a minig of America to not use acharayim, and therefore would not allow the use of the back of the animal. He didn't speak about deer, but for regular cattle or sheep, he would not allow the use of the acharayim anymore. Now, I keep talking about the acharayim. The acharayim, the way animals are butchered is that an animal, once it's gotten, you know, ready for butchering, the animal is cut in half horizontally, meaning from, so to speak, from the spine to the belly button, so to speak, from that way, you know, across the animal. And the cut is made between the 12th and the 13th rib. And everything that's lower, meaning from the 12th towards the head, is considered the front half of the animal, the four quarters, and everything from the 13th and towards the back, towards the tail, which is the upper part of the animal when it's hanging, is considered the acharayim, the hind quarters. The, and as we I keep saying, I've said so many times, that the Achorayim, the hind quarters, are only used ascent for non-kosher. But the term Achorayim and hind quarters is a little bit misleading. The impression you get when I say the word hind quarters, the impression you get is that that means everything behind that cut. Once you cut the animal like that, everything behind the cut above the, that gets sent off for non-kosher. Not exactly true. It really means that the muscle portions of the animal from that part back. But for example, we use liver. Liver is sort of in the front and the back. It's sort of hanging there in the middle. Okay, that's a hip. We use tails and hooves and testicles and kishka. So there are other parts that could be used. Either they're in, so to speak, back here from the animal. In fact, you actually specifically speaks about tails. And so when we say is that the, we don't use acharayim, we mean is the muscle part of it. In a similar vein, the Rambam points out that some of the chelev, or some of the things that we treat as chelev, that has to do from the back half of the animal, actually present in the front half, in the plate, which we're going to speak about in a few times from now, actually present in the plate, there are actually, there is things that we concern ourselves as chelev. So even though we're saying that the back half is where all the issues are, there are issues like this in the front half, and in fact, when we speak about details of chelev, we'll see some of those places where there are questions or issues of chelev. Nowadays, we don't use every different part of the animal, but from the parts that we use, we're going to speak about chelev and dam and semiyas. We're going to speak about them in more detail in the coming times. But for today, I'm going to just give an overview of 10 different parts of the animal that are somewhat commonly used, and give a brief overview of just what's done to that animal. Whether it's a dam or a chelev, or what the reason why it's done, and a little bit of detail, just a drop, just to explain what it is, just a front overview. Okay, and the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to start from the front of the animal, working towards the back, and from the top of the animal, working down to the bottom. Excuse me, when an animal is divided in the four quarters, it's considered to have five parts, five sections. That's the order we'll follow. The chuck is on the top front, and below it is the briskets, which is in the bottom of the front. The back top, which is before the cut, in the back, right behind the chuck, is the ribs, and below that is the plate. And then sort of coming up from the side, from like where the chuck is the shoulder and the forearm, the shank, that's the forearm of the animal that hangs out there. So those are like the five parts, and we'll sort of follow in order. Okay, so starting the head, the cheek meat, the cheek on each side, of course, and there's a vein that runs along the one side of the cheek, and that's pulled out. That's the nikah for dam that's done for cheek. Okay, for a tongue, there's also concerns of dam, and that is there are four large blood vessels that run the length of the tongue, two longer ones and two shorter ones, again, two on the left and two on the right, and on each side, there's a longer one and a shorter one. The Gemara says that it's really okay to just poke a hole into those blood vessels. It's enough to just poke a hole in them. That's enough to deal with the fact that this dam would be stuck into there. But the minig is that they pulled out, the way they do it is they pull it from the base of the tongue, that means the furthest from the teeth, or as far back, like towards the throat, they pull them out, and you can pull up the whole vein, can be pulled out in one fell swoop without leaving behind. And some people also, even after they do that, they still poke holes in it. Poking holes in it then raises little issues of you may need to soak it again afterwards about the harishan before where the cut was, make sure water gets into there. But yeah, they pull out. Some people do these cuts as well. And the minhag is also to cut off the tip of the tongue, the tip, the very top of the tongue. That's a malicha question. That potentially is considered a klish in a manuka if blood would collect over there. So we cut off the tip of the tongue. There are some other minhagim about tongues that are not so clear what the reason or what the makar for them is. And one is that they cut off some bones that aren't at the base of the tongue. They call it the trefet binlach. And some people cut off meat at the base of the tongue. Okay? The Dr. Chu talks about it. It's not so clear what the reason for these are. Okay, that's the tongue. Number three, the area which is the neck and the chuck and the brisket. Again, the chuck is on higher up in the front of the animal, and the brisket is lower down. Brisket is like the chest of the animal. There's a blood vessel in the neck that gets taken out together with, there's like meat that gets in a lot of blood, it's got blood stain from the shechita, so those have to be taken out. And then there's a minhag to also take out, the Rambam brings a minhag to take out, there's a long blood vessel that runs down from the neck or the chuck. It runs down. It's in a branch, so there's more than one line to it. There's two lines. There are two lines, and they're coming down. They come together, and they run all the way. They run down the chuck, then across the brisket. They actually even make it all the way to the back, to the plate. They continue on to the plate over there also. And that whole long blood vessel is cut out. There's a part of the brisket that's called the decal. That's one of the parts of it. In India, there's a gland, which is removed mishum mis. That's pulled out mishum mis. Okay, our fourth is the shoulder or the forearm. And there's also a long branched vein that runs, I don't know what you want to call it, from the top to the bottom, or the bottom to the top, that runs the whole length of the forearm all the way up to the shoulder, or down, whichever you want to call it. There's a few different branches, and that is cut as well. That's something known as a shin, most people have Amit Hashem. Those three, that's all cut out from the shoulder or the forearm. Number five, hooves, or pacha. Okay, the classic way to make pacha is to take the bottom few inches of the cow's shank bone, that's the lowest bone in the leg, the foot, the final few inches of that, and the upper half of the hoof, the trotter, and those are turned into what we call pacha. There is, before we talk about the nikur, there is, the Shnorch speaks about a malicha question for hooves, which is to say, since it has this hard, the hoof, the so to speak, nail that's on the outside of it, would also make it be considered like as a cliche in a manuka. So for malicha, you need to do certain things, you need to cut it in certain places in order to make sure that the blood can drain out. Lamaisa, nowadays, those nails are all removed at the shechita, at the slaughterhouse, and therefore that shiloh is in some Ayin Aleph about what you have to do for plafayim, for hooves, is not relevant anymore for the malicha part of it. But as far as for our purposes, for the nikur side of it, for the drapery, there's a gland just a place above where the place with the digits, the fingers, so to speak, of the hoof come together. There's just above there, there's a gland that's in there that has to be removed, shemius. It's sort of the way it looks is that the way the digits point, like sort of it comes together like in a V shape, and they sort of like point right at the place where that gland is, and it gets taken out. Okay, now what I just described is what a person would do if they were doing nikur on a real hoof for making pacha. Lamaisa, most pacha is not made from that. It's made just from the shank bone, and it's not made from any of the hoof at all. In which case, there's no need to get out, so no nikur would have to be done. Okay. Now, the next few are ones that we're going to be speaking about in the future. And the first of those is our sixth one, is the ribs. The ribs have, there are pairs of nerves that run along three of the last three of the ribs. Those are taken out. The nerve and a blood vessel together, those are taken out. These are taken out mishum chelev. At least we assume that they're taken out mishum chelev. And we also take out, there are some people also take out fat around the rib eye, which is on the other side of the 12th rib. There are fats that was all those we can speak about in Rosh Hashanah once we speak about ribs. Next is the plate. The plate, as I described, is the piece of meat that's below the ribs. That is to say, it's the lower half of the ribs and going down to like to the belly, to the lowest part of the animal, like the part that faces the floor. So the nikur of the three veins, the three pairs of veins and blood vessels from the ribs continues on into the plate. What's called the rafala, that part of there, which has in it other blood vessels. I remember I mentioned a blood vessel that comes in from the brisket, from the chazet, and it also has other layers of fat and blood that are potentially removed. In your session, we're going to speak that also. We speak about the rafala, which is peeping for the rafala, the shundra, that has to be taken out. Okay, next is the skirts. Okay, and that is, there's an inner skirt that's connected to this piece of meat that I just described, the plate. Then there's the outer skirts. The outer skirts, those are part of the diaphragm, the tarpish that we spoke about earlier in Bedikas for Trachis. The tarpish is the dividing like wall between the respiratory parts of the animal and the digestive parts of the animal. So there are two skirts on there, two on each tarp. The tarpish has two skirts on it, and then is what I mentioned for the inner skirts. And the hanging tendon, which is also part of the tarpish, all those together have those, they themselves, it's not a dam, there's a chelev issue, because they touch on parts that potentially have shilas of chelev to them, and they So there are things that are removed to each of those, the inner, outer skirt, and the hanging tendon. Mitchell will talk about that also by itself. Okay. Next is the liver. Now, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the earlier Poskim don't say anything about doing nikkur on a liver. But the liver itself, the liver inherently does not have any chelev in it. However, the liver is connected to chelev in two places. And when you cut the liver out of the animal, that the chelev from those spots gets stuck, as it remains attached just the way you cut it, and therefore it has to be cut off. So it's not the liver's chelev itself, but it's chelev from other parts. And those two places are, one is chelev that the liver, the lower part of the liver is on top of the hemsis and basic cysts, and between the liver and the hemsis and basic cysts are two of the middle stomachs of the animal, and the, covering those is a layer of fat called the chelev shalakar, the lower omentum. That chelev over there, the liver sits on top of them. If that fat stays attached to the liver when you cut the liver out of the animal, that has to be removed. And the top back of the animal, top back of the liver, it's connected to the kidneys, to the chelev hakloyes. It's touching on the chelev hakloyes, also the fat surrounding the kidneys, which is also chelev. Both those chelevs are asur midaraisa, and so they have to be removed. Again, it's not the liver's chelev per se, but it has to be, when you have a liver, it needs, those need to be removed before you can use liver. Okay. Now, separately from this, but it's sort of connected, it's a nikur type thing, that is, the Gemara says, because there are blood vessels in the liver, you need to cut the liver up and, you know, vertically and horizontally, shasi be'ir, before you kasher it. Exactly if and how that applies, we'll talk about mitzvah when we talk about malicha one day in the future. And our last one to talk about is tails, and that is Shulchan Aruch says that the tail, the fat that's in the tail is not considered chelev. We'll talk about it next time exactly what that is and what the chiddush of that is. But the fat that's in the tail is not chelev. But Shulchan Aruch says, but the part of the tail that's actually still in the animal, meaning not the part that sticks out, the part that's still the three vertebrae of the tail, the bones of the tail that are still inside the animal, those touch on chelev, and therefore that the fat around it does need to be removed from that side of the tail. And the Rambam says that what he means is even the part that's outside the animal, seemingly, even the part that's outside the animal has chelev. The Rambam says it's yonke mechelev hakloyes. The Gemara says maybe it means it, maybe this is, according to some people, this is chutei ukatz, which we'll talk about, chutei ukatz maybe, and therefore the Rambam says there's something on the inside, on that part of the tail that also needs to be removed. Okay, there are all kinds of different halakim as exactly what the Rambam is referring to, and how deep it goes in, and exactly what has to be removed, so it's very much dependent on the halakim on what has to be removed. Before we close, I'm just going to mention that there was a sort of an important event that happened approximately 40 years ago in Tashin Lamates. And that was people came from Eretz Yisrael to America and they looked at what was going on at the Shritas and raised the whole ruckus about the way Nikur was being done in America. They had all kinds of complaints, 12 complaints of exactly what they thought was wrong about what was going on with the Nikur in America. And the result of that was not really change in the United States. What the result of that was, it was a clarification where it turns out that the minhag of how nikkur is done in Eretz Yisrael is very different from the way nikkur is done in America. In Eretz Yisrael, to a great extent, they followed the nikkur as is done by the Sfaradim. That's because the Sfaradim were in Eretz Yisrael first, and they chose to keep those minhagim that they had that had already been established in Eretz Yisrael. And as opposed to what's going on in America, was very much connected to what had been done in Europe before World War II. In all the communities have been doing certain ways beforehand. And it sort of highlighted not only the differences between the United States and Eretz Yisrael, some of which we're going to mention as we talk through the different details of the parts that they actually questioned about what was going on, but it also highlights the whole idea that a lot of the dinim of Nikur, a lot of the way we practice Nikur, is very much dependent on Minhagim. We'll see that there are very few things that the Gemara specifically says have to be removed, and a lot of the detail, the understanding of that is dependent on Machlekesin, and dependent on Minhagim that go beyond what the Gemara says, what's done, And therefore, each community does it their own way. And they sort of brought out those points. The people in America went to Eretz Yisrael also to show them and to show their Masoret of how we do it. And were very those they walked out being very comfortable with continuing the way things were done. In recent years, some of those Menhagim, some of the Chumras of the Menhagim in Eretz Yisrael have creeped into the way we do in America. We'll speak about some of those. There are coolers about what they do also, but some of their Chumras have creeped into the way it's done in America. And one of this part is that in his lifetime, Rabelsky was known to be an expert in halachas having to do with Shechita and Nikur and other things like this. And Rabelsky would say over how he was inspired to pursue this and to learn so much as he could about this by that incident that happened back then, Tashin Lamed Tes. He realized that how important it was that people need to be people around who know these dinim and who understand them, who hands-on can pick up a piece of meat and know what's supposed to be done and know how things are supposed to be practiced.